You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Have you ever wrestled with a problem all night long, and when the morning came, you were still seeking an answer? Jacob has left his uncle Laban and is returning home where he will face his brother that had threatened to kill him. Jacob will wrestle with the man all night, and he will be permanently injured. Let's see what Jacob did when he was confronted with problems and was looking for answers. There are lessons that we can learn from the life of Jacob in our daily walk with God today. Welcome, everyone, to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Jesus in Genesis podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington, and I am so glad that you are with us today. Please tell a friend, and please share this podcast. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. We want you to study to show yourself approved by God. We want you to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks about the hope that is within you. And we want you to know what you believe, and we want you to know why you believe it. Our ministry broadcasts and podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. And you can subscribe and access all of our previous podcasts, broadcasts, and Bible lessons on our Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our Bible lesson podcasts are also available on your favorite podcast stations. So let's start with a few scriptures. Let's go to John 5. John 5, verses 46 and 47, Jesus Christ stated, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me, because Moses wrote about me. If you don't believe the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words?" One more scripture I'll share with you. Luke 24, 27, and then verses 44 and 45. And this is the resurrected Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus. And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything that was written about me, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms," by the way, that's the entire Old Testament, "concerning me must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. So what am I saying? Jesus Christ stated that the Old Testament are his words. Jesus Christ stated that the Old Testament was written about him. In our Jesus in Genesis series, we are studying the entire book of Genesis, chapter by chapter, and pointing out the work of Jesus Christ and the implications of the work of Jesus Christ in our COVID-19 pandemic world we live in today. I have news for you. God's word is just as relevant, and God's word is just as needed today as it has ever been. God's word will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our minds so that we too might understand the scriptures. So let's get started. And we've titled today's podcast, Genesis 32 and 33, Jacob Sees Jesus Face to Face. Hope you heard me right. Jacob sees Jesus Christ face to face. In our previous lesson, Jacob has been delivered from his uncle's home where he had worked for 20 years. His uncle had cheated him and changed his wages 10 times. Jacob now has two wives, 11 sons, and a daughter. Being obedient to God, he's returning back to his father's home where he will have to face his brother Esau. Remember now, Jacob had left his father's home because he had tricked and lied to his father Isaac 20 years ago and told him that he was Esau, his firstborn son. And Jacob had received the firstborn blessing that his father Isaac had intended to give to Esau before he died. Esau became angry and plan to kill Jacob. So let's pick up now in Genesis 32, as we see Jacob and his family and his flocks and all his possession. He's left his uncle Laban and now he's returning home. And as he goes on his way, he instructs his servants to go before him and let them know and tell him to let Esau know that he's coming. So Jacob has a plan. And his plan is to appease his brother, because remember, his brother had threatened to kill him 20 years ago. And he's not sure if he's still angry. He's not sure if his brother still has the same intent in his heart. So he is instructing his servants to go before him to tell them that Jacob is on the way, so Esau will be prepared for what's happening. Then as we go to Genesis 32, verses 5 through 7, it states that Jacob is very afraid and distressed and unsure about how he would be received by his brother. And if that's not bad enough, he has news that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Think about that. So Jacob has left for 20 years of fleeing his brother and going to his uncle Laban. And now he's coming back. God told him to come back. He's being obedient to God. He's walking by faith and not by sight. But the sight that he's seeing is Esau, his brother, who threatened to kill him, is coming to meet him with 400 men. So Jacob reminds God, the God of Abraham and Isaac, to deliver him from Esau. He calls upon God and reminds God that, God, you're the one who told me to come back. You told me to come back to this country. I was with my uncle Laban. You told me to pack my bags and go back to my home country with my brother, my father, in the land that we have. So I'm being obedient to you, and I've taken everything that I've had and all that I have, and I'm marching back home. And now I have news that my brother Esau, remember him, Lord, the one who had threatened to kill me before I left, now he's coming at me with 400 men. And you had promised me, Lord, that you would keep me at all times. You had promised you. So I'm asking you again, God, please deliver me from the hand of Esau. And Jacob is very afraid that Esau will not only kill him, but Esau will kill his entire family. He doesn't know just how angry he still is after 20 years. So now we're in Genesis 32, verses 12 through 14. So Jacob sends Esau a present of 220 goats and 220 rams. And he again reminds God of the promise he had made to him that he would make his offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. So he's really just going back to God. God, you told me, I'm being obedient and I don't want to be harmed. And now all I see is a brother who was intent on killing me 20 years is now approaching me with 400 men. I've got to do what I can do to appease him, and hopefully this will solve the problem. So now we're in Genesis 32, verses 15 and 16. He sends some more presents ahead to Esau. Now he's sending 30 camels and coats and 40 cows and 10 bulls and 10 donkeys, and maybe this will do it for him, okay? Then as we look at verses 19 through 23, Jacob sent everyone and everything he had ahead of him, and he spent the night alone in the camp. Jacob is highly distressed, and he's worried, and he's afraid, and he's pleading to God. And there's a lesson here for us as we have our backs up against the wall and we don't know which way to turn and everything is looking like it's caving in on us. It's time for us, if not before, it's definitely time now to seek the face of God. So Jacob was doing this, and he spent the night alone in the camp with no one with him. And that's what we need to do when we have issues and concerns and petitions that we want to give to God. Then we need to go alone in a quiet place, alone, be that in our closet, in our bedroom, wherever we need to be, to get away from everyone else. So it's just us and God. And now we can have this pouring out of the soul and petitioning God. And hopefully God will answer our prayers. Remember, the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so this is what we're saying Jacob is doing now. So as we go to Jacob again in verses 32, in chapter 32, verses 24 and 25, we see a very interesting scenario taking place. Jacob meets and wrestles with a man until daybreak. And whoever this man was, he permanently injures Jacob's hip. And then in verses 26 through 28, as day is breaking, the man says, "Let me go." And Jacob said to him, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, the man said to him, "What is your name?" And Jacob said, "Jacob." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled and striven with God and humans, and you have prevailed." So let's go a little bit deeper into this. The character of Jacob has changed from the evening when he started wrestling with the man to the morning when day was about to come. Okay, Jacob knew that the man was God. Let's be clear about that. And because Jacob had asked the man for a blessing. It's important to note that before Jacob had received the blessing, that the man had asked Jacob what was his name. Remember the incident when Isaac was giving out his blessing and his eyes was bad? And he asked Jacob who he was, and Jacob told his father that he was Esau, the firstborn brother. Jacob now had given up striving and struggling with the man, and now Jacob was clinging on to the man and asking the man for a blessing. The man changed Jacob's name to Israel because he had struggled with God and humans and had prevailed. And like Jacob, there's a lesson for us here, y'all. Like Jacob, we need to stop struggling with God and do what God tells us to do. And we need to start clinging to God and saying, "I will not let you go until you give me a blessing." Let's continue. In Genesis 32, verses 29 through 30, Jacob acknowledges that he has seen God face to face and did not die. He names that place Peniel, which means, "I've seen the face of God, and yet my life has been preserved." Peniel. And then in verses 31 and 32, the sun rose up on him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob, the man struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. So I have to ask you the obvious question that's the big elephant in the room here, okay? Who was the man that wrestled with Jacob in Genesis 32? I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about that. And to answer that question, I need to go back to Genesis 3:15. And if you recall, Genesis 3:15 takes us back to the Garden of Eden and Satan and Adam and Eve. And Satan had tricked Eve to eat from the forbidden fruit. And Adam went along and ate too. And now God is confronting Satan and giving him his consequence for causing Adam and Eve to sin in Genesis 3:15. And God makes this promise, this Messiah. And God promises that the Messiah would come, that would be born, that would defeat the works of Satan. And he also stated by doing this, this man would be born of a woman. So he'd have a dual nature. The Messiah would be fully God and fully man. So think about that. The Genesis 3:15 prophecy of the Messiah. The Messiah would not be a spirit or an angel. It would be a man. It would be a person who's fully man, but also fully God, because only a God man could defeat the works of Satan, which is a created being that was created before the world began and before man's kind was created and lived on the earth. So this God man in Genesis 3:15 became the Messiah, which we now know as Jesus Christ. Let's look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8, it states that Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. He emptied himself and took on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the scriptures are very clear that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, and there is no other person in scripture who is a God-man except for Jesus Christ. So I continue with this question about who was the man that wrestled with Jacob in Genesis 32. The person was not an angel. The person was not a spirit. The scripture stated three times in Genesis 32 that this person was a man. The scriptures also stated that the man was God. And the man in Genesis 32 stated that he was God. And only God can give you a blessing, not a man, not an angel. And Jacob realized that the man was God in the flesh. And Jacob held on to him and would not let him go until he received a blessing. The man blessed Jacob and changed his name to Israel, which means the one who struggles and strives with God. And Jacob named the place where this had taken place at as Peniel, because he had seen God face to face. Now, let's talk about God the Father. Was this man God the Father? Let's explore that. Exodus 33, verses 18, 19, and 20, you have a scenario where Moses is speaking with God the Father. And he asked God the Father to show me your glory. And God told Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. So it's very clear, the Old Testament, very clear. No one has seen God the Father. And in fact, it's impossible to see God the Father and still be alive. Okay? Now, let's go a little bit further. John 6:46. This is Jesus Christ talking. And Jesus Christ had testified that no one has ever seen the Father. So Jesus Christ is saying what Moses said in Exodus 33:18-20. No one has ever seen the Father. So whoever this man was, I think it's very clear that this man was not God the Father. Furthermore, John 14:9 says, Jesus Christ testified that when you see him, you have seen the Father. Okay, stick with that. Jesus Christ also stated that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. This took place in Luke 24:39, when the resurrected Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples. And while they were talking, he came amongst them and said, peace be with you. And they were afraid and terrified and thought that they had seen the spirit. And he said to them, why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands, look at my feet, and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones like I have. And then, by the way, later on in that scripture in Luke 24, he asked him for some fish to eat to really demonstrate who he was. He was a person. He was a man. He was not a spirit. So a spirit does not have flesh and bones. It was not God the Father. So who was the man that wrestled with Jacob in Genesis 32? Jacob did not wrestle with God the Father. Jacob did not wrestle with the Holy Spirit. Jacob clearly wrestled with the man who had the power and the ability to bless him and change his name. And as stated earlier in Luke 24:44-45, Jesus Christ stated that the entire Old Testament were his words, and the entire Old Testament was written about him. Jacob had named the place where he wrestled Peniel, meaning I've seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. Jacob did not wrestle with God the Father. Jacob did not wrestle with the Holy Spirit. Jacob wrestled with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. It's very clear who he wrestled with. So let's continue as we go to Genesis 33 now. And talking about having the favor of God. Look what happens when you line up with God, and God will make your enemies your footstool. So now Jacob still knows that Esau is coming with 400 men. The same Esau who the scriptures has stated that he was a sexually immoral, godless person. The same Esau who had threatened to kill him is now coming with 400 men. And Jacob looked up and saw him coming. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. And he put the maids and their children in the front. And then Leah with her children and Joseph and Rachel last of all. And then he went ahead of them, and he bowed down to the ground seven times until he came near his brother. But now listen to the response that Esau had. And this is how God can work it out. He can make your enemies your footstool. In Genesis 33, verses 4, 5, and 6. Check this out. But Esau, when he saw Jacob, ran to Jacob. I hope you hear me right. Esau ran. He was so excited. He ran to Jacob. Esau embraced Jacob. Esau fell on Jacob's neck, and Esau kissed him and cried and wept. Jacob had favor with God, and Jacob had favor with man. Hallelujah. And then we go to verses 7, 8, and 9, and Esau is telling Jacob, God has blessed me, Jacob. I have enough stuff. I don't need your gifts that you've given me. God has blessed me and I have more than enough. And then the conversation continues in 10, 11, and 12 verses, those verses, where Jacob is urging Esau to accept this gift. And he's basically saying that if you are accepting me, then you have to accept my gifts. And Esau was so elated to see Jacob that he offers to go alongside of him all the way back home. He just wanted to hang out with him and find out where he's been and be caught up to date with what's going on with his brother, that he was so glad to see that he ran to him and hugged him and kissed him and grabbed him by the neck and just embraced him. So now, in Genesis 33, verses 13 and 14, Jacob is saying, that's good that you want to travel along beside me, but I would suggest that I meet you in Seir. That's the town that's along the way that we're going to end up at. So Jacob is saying, the reason is because I want to nurse my frail flocks and herds. And if I walk at a fast pace, they're going to die. And I want them to survive this traveling that we're going to our homeland. And so if you would be so kind, wait in Seir, and when my flocks come, I will meet you there. So then in verses 15, 16, and 17, Jacob journeys to Succoth. He built himself a house there and made booths for his cattle. And in verses 18, 19, and 20, check this out. Jacob built an altar. Jacob built an altar for the God of Israel in the city of Shechem. Jacob had a lot to thank God for, a whole lot to thank God for. So Jacob built an altar to God to praise him, to thank him. Jacob had learned to stop struggling with God and fighting with God and being disobedient to God. And Jacob had learned to start clinging to God. And that's a lesson for us today in our COVID-19 pandemic world of 2021. We should not struggle with God. And if we are struggling, we need to stop struggling with God. We need to start clinging to God. That's our source. That's our blessing. So my question, where is Jesus in Genesis 32 and 33? Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, was the God-man that Jacob struggled with from night into morning, and the one that he ended up clinging to. That was Jesus Christ. And that's where he was in Genesis 32 and 33. And I have news for you. The same God that spoke to Jacob back then is speaking to us now in the year 2021. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. God is making good on all of his promises to us, just like he did to Jacob. God is the same yesterday. God is the same today. God is the same tomorrow. God is the same forever. And that's our lesson for today. Genesis 32 and 33, Jacob sees Jesus Christ face to face. And as we face the global pandemic of COVID-19 at the start of this new year, we need to remember that God is still in control. God is still on the throne. I like what Romans 8:28 says. It says that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who have been called according to his purpose. Let me say it one more time. Romans 8:28 did not say some things work together. Romans 8:28 did not say most things work together. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together. Whatever it is, all things, whatever problems you have, if 400 people are coming at you, whatever it is, all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. All Christians have a spiritual backup. And if you're not safe, I'm offering you the spiritual covering and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will give you the spiritual support, the spiritual backup, and the spiritual strength needed as we face the uncertain days ahead of us in this new year. Romans 10, 9 and 11 says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And whosoever, and I hope you are a whosoever, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. So if you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the grave. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life and that I will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen. If you prayed that salvation prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. I want you to go to our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the salvation tab and read the information on salvation and the next steps after salvation. Because now that you're saved, there's several things you need to do. There's work to be done. Number one, read your Bible and pray daily. Number two, join a church where Jesus Christ is being preached. Number three, regularly attend worship service and Bible study. And number four, ask your church to assign an experienced member to mentor and disciple you. And number five, be baptized to publicly confess the spiritual change that has taken place in your life. And if you have any questions, please send me an email at drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's D-R-B-E-N at foundationalbtm.org. Why? Because I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to know why you believe it.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
There are three ways that you can give to support the ongoing work of this ministry. Please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab and make a tax-free donation of any amount. You will be blessed and you will be a blessing to others. You can also make a Cash App donation to our ministry at Dr. Ben Pennington, or you can mail your donation to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Post Office Box 1712. That's Post Office Box 1712, Austell, Georgia, 30168. But before you go, let me give you a preview of our next podcast. In our next podcast, Jacob's daughter Dinah is raped by a son of a Hivite prince, and Jacob's sons will plot their revenge. God tells Jacob to return to Bethel. Jacob orders the Israelites to purify themselves of their idol gods before traveling to Bethel to build an altar and worship. So I have a few questions. What strategy did the Israelites use to avenge the rape of their sister? What is an altar and why were they built? What vow did Jacob make to God concerning worship? Why were the Israelites worshiping idol gods while their father Jacob was worshiping the one true living God? Why did Jacob instruct the Israelites to purify themselves before traveling to Bethel to worship God? Why were the cities near Bethel in terror of the Israelites and did not attack them? I'm glad you asked. We will answer these questions and much more in our next podcast, which we've titled Genesis 34 and 35, Jacob Prepares Israel for Worship. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.